I hope everybody is very well rested after a great weekend with friends and family, because with a short week and so much to get through, it's going to be exhausting. We'll start on this Monday, the 22nd day of November, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. Some of you might remember back in July, Governor Gavin Newsom hailed a hero. He was the first governor in our country to require that all state employees be fully vaccinated against COVID-19, the very dangerous and very deadly, chimerically engineered Wuhan lab, Tony Fauci, sociopathic, taxpayer-funded COVID-19. Later that same week, Newsom doubled down. He doubled down on his fascist style of tyrannical governing when he announced that, of course, for the health and safety of our kids, all children, kindergarten through 12th grade, would need to be fully vaxxed to attend public school. Interesting fact here. Many of you might be unaware. San Diego, California is one of the biotech capitals of the world. It is. Industry giants like Qualcomm reside there, Illumina, Thermo Fisher Scientific, and the Salk Institute, where, by the way, Dr. Robert Malone has proclaimed that he invented the mRNA technology. There's literally unbridled financial wealth available for funding, for lobbying, for advertising, and of course, for influence. And the pressures on local leaders in California to enforce these overreaching communist mandates must be incredibly high, especially there in San Diego, on Mayor Todd Gloria. In September, Todd Gloria in the city of San Diego announced that all employees would need to be fully vaccinated by December 1st in order to remain employed. Now, this is a major problem for the already strained San Diego Police Department. 40% of that police force is currently unvaccinated, and they don't want to be. So just past Friday, the San Diego Police Department partnered with Reopen San Diego to hold a rally called Protect the Protectors. The rally was designed to support the 740 police officers that are currently unvaccinated and would be removed from their position as public protectors if they refuse to comply. But let's be honest here. Mayor Todd Gloria isn't asking for voluntary compliance from San Diego cops. He's asking for voluntary surrender. But at least he's giving the officers a choice, right? The choices are, number one, surrender your body over to the government. Run the risk of losing everything. The risk of losing your physical ability to even perform your duties or lose your life because you were injected with one of these experimental COVID-19 bioweapons that are falsely being referred to as safe and effective vaccines. Choice number two, surrender your badge and gun. That's it. Karen Kingston, who you might be familiar with, she's a biotech analyst who makes appearances on this program, spoke at that rally, and here's some of what she said.
Our San Diego police officers took an oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I do further swear that I do not advocate, nor am I a member of any party or organization, political or otherwise, that now advocates to overthrow the government of the United States or the State of California. But my question is, those who are in government now, whether it's at the federal level or our mayor, if they are mandating that the citizens and the residents of San Diego are injected with an agent, which according to the FDA, they know it causes heart inflammation, they know it causes vaccine-enhanced diseases, including enhanced respiratory disease, they don't know if it prevents any kind of infection. Are they doing what's in our best interest? Are they upholding the Constitution? Or are they acting on behalf of a government or a body that is against the American people? So I don't recommend that you sue Mayor Todd Gloria. If he passes this mandate on November 29th, I recommend the police arrest him.
I don't think you were being hyperbolic. I think you were being dead nut serious. You want the mayor arrested. Can this be done?
Yes, I was serious. I was not being hyperbolic or inflammatory. This can be done. As I mentioned in that clip, and as we all know, our police officers, our military, all took an oath to uphold the Constitution and to protect the American people from terrorists domestic and foreign. And like you said, Stu, this is nothing to do with public health. This has nothing to do with choice. This has to do with a tyrannical government that has taken over our government at the federal level and at the local level, period, including down to the towns and cities and Mayor Todd Gloria. I want to be clear. Todd Gloria is not a good person. He is not a good mayor. He is protecting himself and his own self-interest. You mentioned this is the biotech capital of the world. Qualcomm has donated over $700 million, probably close to $1 billion here in San Diego County. Make no mistake, some of that money is going to our government officials. Make no mistake. And so if our police officers surrender their badges, right, and their guns, who's going to protect the American people? There's one mayor. There's 1,850 police officers. Under the Ninth Amendment, it doesn't have to, it states, just because it's not stated in the Constitution and not in the Bill of Rights, we don't have to say to you, hey, it's not okay for a tyrannical government to force you to get injected with a bioweapon or surrender your gun.
Yeah, what about locking our students into a hallway? That's been done. We've seen it. But what if that hallway now turns from a quarantine camp into a mandatory forced vaccination injection site?
Exactly. That's the point. I mean, that's my point, is right now, if our police officers are afraid to stand up for their own rights and to protect their bodies, who's going to protect us when they come to our house to inject our children, or lock down our schools to inject our children, or take parents away from their children to go to COVID-19 education camps. It's going to be this new regime where there have been the military and public servants, such as the police officers, who have surrendered to the new regime and gotten injected, and they're going to be part of it, or they surrendered by giving them their guns, and then we have no one to protect us. I mean, protect the protectors. What does that mean? Now you want women and children to protect the men of America?
Yeah, what a joke. I've got a serious question for you, because, you know, I don't want to be hyperbolic or inflammatory in nature either. But do you think that we are steadfast approaching an era where schools will lock down and that they will inject our kids without our permission?
Yes, I do. So Dr. Jane Ruby presented on your show, the World Health Organization, stating that voluntary or consent to inject your child can be given if they go to school on an injection day with the World Health Organization. Okay, that was the document she shared. If you read that document, it says that this is lawful because other governments had entered into a treaty with the World Health Organization to allow this to happen. And in the state of California, they did pass a law, I think it's called AB 77, where this can happen. They can declare a vaccination day, lock the school down, and inject your children.
Is any of this connected to the people that formerly served the president, Mark Meadows? How is this tied to Warp Speed? How about the executive order that Trump signed?
Those are great questions. This is absolutely part of a bigger plan, and Operation Warp Speed is part of that plan, not necessarily the plan, the Warp Speed, and that's what Trump had rolled out, but the plan to get vaccines, emergency use, quote unquote, vaccines injected into the American people. The executive order that Trump signed, and I had read it a while ago, was then to deploy the military to mass vaccinate the American population. Perhaps that was a warning to the American people and to our U.S. military. If you are vaccinated now, or you surrender your position and your guns, there will be a regime that will have an executive order to mass vaccinate the American people, utilizing our military and our local police. We've seen this before, Stu. We saw it in World War II. 80% of the deaths and recruitment into the camps was done in the last 11 months of that war, and it was done by police battalions across many countries and towns and cities. It was not done by the army. It was done by the police.
Unbelievable. So it's your stance that Trump signed this as a warning.
I don't know why. I think he signed it in 2018 after Fauci had announced that there was going to be a pandemic that Trump was going to have to face. during his presidency. And so perhaps Trump signed that executive order as a heads up to certain people, to certain authoritative and military people that this was going to be coming. I don't know. I mean, I am not, I don't like to opine about what people are thinking.
I have to go on the facts. I just watched some of the president's interview with Mark Levin late last night. I've seen him in many occasions recently out here promoting these shots.
He's still promoting them?
Basically a vaccine salesperson. Oh yeah, they work. And then he was touting Remdesivir last night in the interview, saying what a great drug Remdesivir is. I'm beyond it. Knowing what we know here about specifically these shots, knowing what we know here about the drug Remdesivir, I mean, another Tony Fauci drug, it leads to renal failure, kidney shutdown, death. It didn't make it all the way through a trial because of all of its death. It's experimental. It's emergency use authorized as part of COVID-19 protocol in this AI system called Epic that doctors are forced to use or lose their license. A lot more to this than that, and I don't know why the president is touting Remdesivir and pushing these shots like a salesperson all over the country, but we intend to keep asking the question, and ultimately one day we will get an answer. I'm out of time. Karen Kingston, I gotta go. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all of your support. At MyPillow, we not only have pillows, but we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We're offering the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have this exclusive offer on the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. We also have the queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with your promo code. And we have the king size, regularly $89.98, now only $29.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer.
I'm sure you saw it breaking all over the place yesterday. RedVoiceMedia.com was one of the first outlets to break the news of an intentional act of terrorism that took place on the streets of Waukesha, Wisconsin on Sunday, where Christian families were gathered for a Christmas season celebratory event. During what was planned as a family and friends community-oriented gathering of peace and love, a black man called Darrell Brooks intentionally ran his SUV into the crowd. Shots were fired. Brooks appears to have been steering the vehicle with intent to take out as many innocent people as possible. Now, in the short time since the event, Red Voice Media has reported that Brooks has a long criminal history for crimes of violence and that he was actually out on bail for another criminal offense at the time of the mass casualty terror attack at the hands of the extremist radical Brooks. It seems that he posted bail on the day of the Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty verdict. Edward Saul is a Stu Peters Show investigative reporter. He's been working hard to fight through what seems to be a tight-lipped group of people. The media is overtly lying about what's happened here, but no doubt we're going to get to the truth. Edward joins us now. Edward, thank you for your hard work. What have we learned about the degenerate demon who killed these innocent Christians in Wisconsin?
Well, Stu, we know that his name is Darrell Edward Brooks Jr. Now, he's 39 years old. He's lived in multiple states. He actually has 25 different mugshots from those multiple states. Now, he's a career criminal. He had court records dating back to 1999 showing drug possession, obstruction of an officer, battery, bail jumping, 2 counts of a use of a dangerous weapon. We might now count that as 3 with use of that vehicle, and felony possession of a firearm back in July of 2020. Now, he has a series of open felonies, which are charges that haven't yet been prosecuted, but again, he's facing. And it was resisting an officer, felony bail jumping, second degree reckless endangerment, domestic abuse, and disorderly conduct. Now, he posted bail 2 days before the attack on the 21st. That's on November 19th, $1,000 posted. We don't know where that came from. I gave the lawyer a call today, but no response on this yet. But what we know is that on Sunday, at about 4 p.m., this man was found in the vehicle of a red SUV, pulled out by police, no shoes on, and after he had indiscriminately murdered white students, white Christian parade goers. This was a Christmas parade in a town that is about 90% Caucasian. But the police are telling us right now there's no indication, no early indications there are of terrorism or any racial incentive to this, any racial motivation. We're also being told that there's no reason to believe there's any connection to radicalization, extremism, or to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict out of Kenosha. Now, what we do know is that his name was released initially by accident by the police over the scanner.
Well, it's a Darrell Brooks. That rings for anything.
Moving Abram, I ran that subject. My son's ID in the car. He is suspended. Looks like he's got at least 199 on the system.
Now, that's who he's identifying himself as. Lighter skin, black male, dreadlocks, red shirt, blue, no shoes.
Abram.
They found the guy without shoes. Very odd. We were initially hearing that he was fleeing from a knife attack. I don't know that. There's no evidence which shows that. What I do know is that if the spin and the excuse that's been given for this man's heinous crime is that, hey, he couldn't be a mass murderer. He was simply fleeing an attempted murder. Okay, not good. This person was clearly a career criminal, but much worse than this. Now, he's also a registered sex offender in Nevada and a self-admitted child sex trafficker and pedophile. Here he is talking about his own crimes.
And then as soon as we fall out, all of a sudden, now I'm a pedophile. Let me explain that. 10 years ago, 2006, I caught a case with my oldest daughter's mama. Yes, my baby mama. She's from Oakland. I was busting moves in Nevada. I meet the say she want to get down, so I'm pimping on the I'll take her to Nevada. You know what I'm saying? I get cracked. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know the was 16 at the time. She gave a statement to the police and told them, yeah, she was hoeing, that I was pimping, and that she was 16, and that I didn't know that, okay?
Now, if you were to listen to the propagandists that Media Matters, they will tell you that the exact nature of the crime is not certain. But there you are. That was Darryl Brooks talking about the crime itself. And again, there are law enforcement officials and many media outlets happy to report this, that there's no connection to terrorism. Now, the odd thing about that is that he's a self-described terrorist. Now, this man has he's a rap name. He's got an alias. Math Boy Fly is what he goes by when he's not running children down in a parade. Now, this man actually has a song called Loudmouths, and in it, the loudmouth says he's a terrorist.
That part. Niggas talking down, know they scared of us. They is. Couple hundred shots before we hammer them.
You talking down, you don't want it, no, you scared of this. We about that action anywhere, yeah, we terrorists. See me riding with me, I'ma slide, make it terrible. Hope you right with God, cause a casket with you headed for.
Now, there are several Facebook posts under that alias, under Math Boy Fly. Now, the first one was back in June 2020, and he was bragging and even trying to promote knocking white people out, especially the elderly. A real brave man this one is. He was making a playoff of what was happening last summer, if you'll remember. It was a knockout game happening where both elderly Caucasians, Asians, anyone not black, was being punched out by young black activists. Those who are espousing Black Lives Matter, but also those espousing the fist against the skull of those far much wiser than them. Now, the second post of note was this man on the ground, bloodied. He gives a cumulative shrug to this. Clearly, he doesn't care too much about violence. Clearly, he thinks it's an okay thing, maybe a means to an end. Now, on July 5th, he made this Black Lives Matter-themed fruit basket. Now, there's no indications that this man has had an active role in, let's say, the Black Panthers or anything like that, but this clearly is an endorsement of Black Lives Matter, which again leads you to black supremacy, the mindset that because of the color of your skin, in this case being black, that you are destined to rule the world, that you're better than all the other races. It's racism, real one, for those propagandists and media who are having a hard time finding this. Now, again, I'm just a lowly investigative journalist with a few resources and a brain. Apparently, the media and the police haven't been able to find a connection, but look what you've already seen. He says he's a terrorist. He clearly admits to child sex trafficking, but there's much more. Now, this SUV that we saw in the video, it just was playing, you saw going through the crowd, going through band goers, going through many onlookers for this parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, this same red SUV can be seen in Darren Block's basically his rap videos. And this man, he actually was very proud about this. As you see here on screen, this is Daryl Brooks using this vehicle to act as a backdrop as he and his friend play around with an Uzi and brag about murdering people. Now, I don't pretend to understand this reprobate demonic culture, one that justifies violence because it's for freedom, for protection of one's race. No, it's just race-based terrorism. Okay, and the other part to this too is that we're not the only ones looking at this. Now, if clearly you can find others on our side that are rightly pointing to these connections, but let's look to the other side. Now, Black Lives Matter activist Von L. Myers, he was actually at the scene in Waukesha, and he absolutely believes there's a connection to Kenosha, absolutely believes a connection to the group Black Lives Matter. He said, "It sounds like the revolution has started."
Now, we'll have to wait and see, because they do have somebody in custody. We may have to wait and see what they say about why this happened. But it sounds quite possible that the revolution has started in Wisconsin, starting with this Christmas parade.
Now, when you see these actions, this mass murder on the streets of America, much like a street that I'm on, any sane American, you say, that's murder. That's terrorism. That's something that cannot happen here, and we won't let it happen. But for many who've been watching the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and been seeing the scenes outside of the courthouse, this was expected. This is what they were saying outside the courthouse.
So f*** this court. F*** the proceedings. If any of y'all think y'all finna go anywhere in this country and be around black people, go where the f*** black people are, or supporters of black people, and think you're the f***ing police, you're gonna get f***ed up. He should be a f***ing victim. It don't f***ing matter. I'm telling them, that's what you think they came down here for?
This is war.
What do you think?
Now, in addition to all the evidence that I've already shown you, and I hope the police would have the foresight to look into this, American people demand it. We're never going to accept this kind of terrorism against children on our streets, whether it be by vehicle or by jab. You also need to look at this connection. This man is a self-described black Israelite. Now, what this is a group that believes they are the true Jews. Now, this is his words. This is on November 13, 2015. He posted this poster with text on it that has Adolf Hitler on it that says, "Hitler knew who the real Jews were." Now, he said, this is the real thing right here. This is research. Clearly, this man has some foreign ideologies. Clearly, this man has some specific motivations. I can't be stupid enough just to believe what the police have said, that there is no evidence. What have we just shown you? This man's connection to the Black Israelites is interesting because, again, if you think back to the Covington boys, the ones that were protesting but then were harassed and defamed and then ultimately became millionaires, Nicholas Sandman was also getting intels with a Black Israelite. They have a record of violence and justifying it on themselves. Clearly, in this case, there's a connection in addition to the mass murder. Now, as of the recording of this report, there are 5 dead, 40 wounded, and 18 children who are fighting for their lives right now. Any sane American who's seen that video of that SUV plowing through the crowd, they're not buying this motive that this is just a random act. They're not buying this motive that he was fleeing from a knife attack. And why don't you hear it right from someone who is an eyewitness to this mayhem? His name is Thomas Kluka. This man threw his daughter out of the way to save her from this madman. And he absolutely knows that vehicle is coming right for them.
And I noticed him coming through the crowd, and I noticed something was not right. And then I seen kind of like just people flying as I stood up. I'm like, oh no. My daughter stood up. I threw her out of the way, and then I basically yelled, "Get out of the way!" And my wife got out of the way. And by the time she did, the car came right past me, within at least 2 feet. I could have touched the car going by. If I had to get hit, I had to get hit. You know, it was just making sure they got out of the way. I mean, where we were sitting and there was a float between us and the curb, he made it an effort to come towards us because he wanted to get around the float and just, I don't know if it was to hit as many people as he can, or I don't know what the senseless intention was other than just, you know, just going the speed that he did.
You heard it from an eyewitness. You heard it from this reporter. You've seen real evidence, real facts. Now it's for you to make up that decision in your mind. What are you going to do when a madman comes to a Christmas parade near you while kids are playing Jingle Bells? You already know what you're going to do. And Americans need to start standing up for what they believe in. Reporting for the Stu Peters Show, I'm Edward Zell.
Disgusting acts by a demonic heathen. That's what this really is. Edward Zoll, great report. As always, so happy to have Edward Zoll on this team. That's based journalism right there. That's integrity-filled reporting right there by a Christian, God-fearing man who's digging for the truth, which is what this platform is all about. That's what this is all about. Fighting against this propaganda machine, this criminally corrupt. These journalists, this media, everybody, they should be going to jail. Trump was right. They're the enemy of the people. What am I holding in my hand here? This is IGF-1 plus. IGF-1 is naturally found in your body, but the older we get, the less our body naturally produces it. So you have to supplement, just like you supplement with multivitamins, protein, creatine, any of those things. If you're looking for more restful sleep, more energy during the day, clearer thinking, lean muscle gain, healthy weight loss, all of these things are part of the IGF-1 that's naturally found in your body. No, it's not steroids. It's not illegal. Go to keystolife.shop right now and find out how you can get buy one, get two free. Buy one, get two free. When you put the product on auto ship, it's for the rest of this week only. No, it's not a lifetime subscription. You can cancel at any time, but I'm on my fifth month and I'd recommend that you try it for at least 3 months. You're going to notice the difference. KeysToLife.shop. Buy one, get two free of the IGF-1 Plus product right now at KeysToLife.shop. Buy one, get two free at KeysToLife.shop. Well, Jeanette Orr has lost both of her parents this year. Her mother passed away in August. Her mom was unvaccinated and died shortly after hospital staff stuck her onto a ventilator. Her father then died in October after a horrible adverse reaction to the Moderna bioweapon being falsely referred to as a vaccine. He spent 28 days in the hospital on his first stay. But when he came home, he needed 24/7 care. And when that wasn't enough, he went back into the hospital and died 7 days later. After getting the Moderna vaccine, his symptoms were blood clots, tremors, hallucinations, mini seizures, anemia, headaches, eye pain, scaling of the skin, sensitivity to light, blistering, kidney failure from remdesivir, and a heart attack. Jeanette Orr joins us now. First, I want to start by saying on behalf of my family, which includes, I believe, our entire viewing audience, I'm confident I can say that, we're praying for you and we're sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. I really don't want anybody else to have to deal with what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, so you've witnessed medical murder firsthand, and you've seen the effects of this bioweapon being marketed as a safe and effective vaccine. What do you want to tell millions of Americans? You have the floor.
Do not get the vaccine. This is not a vaccine. I witnessed firsthand what this does to people. My father had metal sticking to him. He had these massive pockets that I kept taking him in for because I didn't know what it was. He lost full use of his left arm, could not use it. I took him in and nobody could figure it out. Everybody kept thinking I was crazy. So I happened to run across a video and it was talking about graphene oxide poisoning and it was talking about metal sticking to people. So I ran over because I live right across the street. So I ran over. And sure enough, the metal was sticking to him. He suffered like I've never seen before. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And now they're approving this for children, which is awful. It's awful. I don't even want to think about what will happen to these children years from now. My mother was a different story. My father came down with COVID first. Then my mom got the symptoms. And I tried to get hydroxychloroquine. And I tried to get a Z-Pack because I had hydroxychloroquine and a Z-Pack from the frontline doctors in February of last year when I had COVID. So I tried to get it for my mother through her doctor, and they told me their license was on the line because it wasn't FDA approved for COVID. And I argued and I brought up the frontline doctors and I told them that off-label prescription works for many cases. It worked for me. These vaccines are also emergency use and are not approved for FDA for COVID. I got nowhere with that. Got to the hospital and they vented my mother without any prior approvals. My parents both had living wills, and it clearly states in their living wills, do not resuscitate, there are DNRs, and no breathing tubes. Not a phone call, nothing. I get to the hospital and they take me back and she's on a ventilator.
So they violated every single medical wish that your family and your mother specifically had in writing. Unlawfully,
it's a legal document.
Mm-hmm. They unlawfully violated all of those documents. Why?
I am wondering if hospitals aren't FEMA camps at this point. I didn't want to take her. I've been tracking this stuff for over a year. It's really hard to watch a loved one, especially your mother and your father, not be able to breathe. Their oxygen was in the 60s. And I don't have home oxygen. I didn't know what to do. So, you know, I called her doctor. Her doctor told me to call for an EMT. The EMTs acted like it was like, okay, we've seen this before. We're going to take her to the hospital. We're going to give her, well, she's on oxygen right now in the ambulance. They'll give her some more, you know, just meet us up there. And nobody acted like it was a dire need. And then I show up and there she is on a ventilator.
EMTs told you, oh yeah, no big deal. How long after that was your mother dead?
20 minutes, I get up to the hospital and they were calling for a life flight to her to Nashville. And her heart stopped when she got to Nashville. But my father was still alive. He was at home. He never got a phone call.
I can't believe that we're witnessing this in America. And I see thousands of emails very similar to yours in my inbox. Every day I read horrific stories like this. We obviously can't get everybody on. But to stomach all of this and to shoulder all this and to read everybody's horrific stories like this, you're absolutely right. And I don't know if FEMA specifically is overtaking all of these hospitals, but I understand what you're saying by you believe that our hospitals are FEMA camps. They are the killing fields. They have become the modern day ovens for genocide. And do you think that it's cognitive dissonance with the doctors, or do you think that this is intentional, that there's something more diabolical happening here?
I don't know what it is. It's pure evil, Stu. It's pure evil. What I witnessed with my father is pure evil with this vaccine. And I will tell you right now that I was trying to get doctors left and right. You know, there used to be a time when doctors would actually hear you when you came in and said, these are symptoms and that this is what's happening.
Yes.
They were just blinded, like didn't even care. I had a nurse stick the key to my father. She was like, I need to go talk to a doctor. No doctor ever came in. I have all of this video recorded. A lot of it was video recorded, and I put it up on my Rumble account. I talked to my Senator Reeves of Tennessee on last Thursday, and he suggested that I contact more attorneys, because I was told by a couple of attorneys that Tennessee legislation passed laws last year that were protecting medical personnel for COVID treatments. Well, this is a different scenario. They never contacted us for any treatments. They never contacted us for remdesivir for my father. I knew that was a bad drug. I knew it. I knew it gave acute kidney failure. I was trying to get power of attorney. They wouldn't let us in there because of COVID. Nothing could go in his room. Nothing could come out. So I couldn't get power of attorney until the last day, where he passed away 7 days after that.
Dr. Brian Artis has been on the forefront with this remdesivir thing from the very beginning. This was a one-year trial. It didn't make it all the way through the trial. It was one of Tony Fauci's drugs. Weird. It killed more people than anything else. It instigated, as you said, acute renal or kidney failure, and it was pulled from the trial. However, somehow it gets approved for emergency use here and gets inserted into the NIH protocol, which then is downloaded into these AI-controlled Epic systems, which are used by doctors and so-called healthcare providers to make decisions on their patients based on the symptoms that they present with. So, in other words, doctors are no longer using common sense. Doctors are no longer using the decades-long education that they have. They're not taking a common sense approach to anything. They're not diagnosing individual patients. They're inserting symptoms. If you have A and B, you must do C, D, and E. And that's it.
That is correct.
And if they go outside of that protocol, they have their licenses threatened. And so really all they're doing right now at this point is selfishly protecting themselves while killing innocent geriatric Americans who are vulnerable and not honoring the living will. I mean, that is absolutely right. Malpractice. That is absolute malpractice.
Yes. And I'll tell you, Sue, when I was saying goodbye to my mother, they actually let us in the room, fully gowned up, you know, head to toe. But when I came out, her doctor pulled me off to the side. Sue, I will never forget this. I am grieving. You want to know what the doctor told me? The doctor said, your mother wasn't vaccinated. That's why she died.
Excuse me?
And then tells me that I should get vaccinated because I should save myself and my family. These doctors and these medical professionals, I will never trust enough. I will not. I told my family members, you let me die at home. Do not call. I will not be going to a hospital.
It's pure evil. And we've cited over and over again, the Mayo Clinic, revered as the world's most elite healthcare system. The cardiac charge surgeon, the head of the cardiac unit there, Courtney Bennett, all of you unvaccinated people, stop burdening my hospital. Go away and die. This is how these medical professionals are treating the situation with these shots, these bioweapons that they are pushing on everybody. Mayo Clinic is about to lose thousands of employees. I just got word this morning that Mayo Clinic is denying 100% of the medical and religious exemptions for all of their staff there. So when the COVID crisis came, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's not surprising. My husband's in the same boat. My husband's active duty, and he's got two years left, and he's put in for his RA and everything. And they are just being counseled left and right, and being threatened left and right. Yes, it's gone way beyond medical at this point. This is absolutely a bioweapon. If you don't believe me, go onto my Rumble account and watch my father. Watch. He had like zero red blood cell counts at the end. He had to have two blood transfusions. He had congestive heart failure. He had kidney failure. He was having mild, massive, if you ask me, seizures. They kept calling him mild. This is not from COVID, which they kept telling me it was from COVID. And I even have the doctor at the hospital on record stating that this stuff is from COVID.
What's your dad's first name?
Samuel.
Was Samuel.
He was a veteran of 20 years.
Unbelievable. Was your honorable father, Samuel, was he relatively healthy prior to getting the injection?
Yeah, he had, he had some issues. I mean, he got it because the VA was giving it out, and the VA loves their veterans. You know, he couldn't fathom. I was showing him videos about people that I was seeing, you know, that were getting these jabs, and he couldn't fathom it. He couldn't fathom that his own government in his country, the one he defended, Vietnam tour, four Vietnam tours, couldn't fathom that this was going on.
Short memory. He must not have remembered Agent Orange. They dumped that all over them.
And he was 100% rated for Agent Orange. Thank you, Stu.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, Jeanette, we're out of time, but I can't tell you how much, first of all, to your husband, thank you very much. Thank him for, on our behalf, for his service to our country. We're sorry that this Reich, this communist regime, is forcing these bioweapons on everybody who chose to honorably serve to protect the right to medical freedom, to be able to make choices after your own health, and then being denied that on his own. For the loss of your mom and dad, we are just absolutely sorry. Your story is going to resonate because millions of people are dealing with this. We hope that people will wake up and understand that this virus, 99.989% survival rate, the God-given immune system, that's not even bringing up any early treatment protocols like the Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko or ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. And certainly not these bioweapons, which have proven themselves to be dangerous, and in your father's case, sadly, and many others, deadly. Jeanette Orr, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. God bless you, Stu. Thank you.
What a tragedy Jeanette is dealing with. Absolute insanity. And what's even more horrific is that her story is multiplied by millions, and millions of these people have this mental block, unable to see what's right in front of them and admit what's really going on. Keep talking to people. Keep talking to people, because you never know the one person who could change everything. That's biblical. little personal story here. A great friend of mine, very close personal friend, like a brother to me, blood would not bring us closer together. His wife got really sick with a set of symptoms being marketed as COVID-19, this Wuhan lab chimerically engineered Tony Fauci concoction, got her real sick recently. He also has it, but the symptoms are very mild. The difference is he had been taking the Z-Stack, she had not. Get to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Please keep yourself healthy. This protects against a whole bunch of different viruses, including influenza. Dr. Zelenko, a Nobel Prize nominee, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee, upstate New York, thousands of lives saved, 99.9% survival rate amongst his high-risk COVID patients. The media refuses to talk about this guy. He has risked it all. He's completely under attack. His product works. It's now available for kids in gummy form. Keep your kids safe. Get there. Pre-order for the kids. Put your stuff on auto ship. Avoid the shipping delays. This stuff is in high demand. Go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Put it on auto ship. Listen, it's $55 for a bottle of these pills. It's a one pill formula. It's got the quercetin, the zinc, the D3. You can put it all together yourself. That's fine. You don't have to order from this. But if you put it all together yourself, you're probably going to have a hard time finding every ingredient in one place and then figuring out the dosing, and it's probably going to cost the same. Just get to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Put this stuff on auto ship. You cannot put a price tag on your life or the life of your kids. Now available in gummy form. ZStackProtocol.com right now. Here's my PSA for ZStackProtocol.com. Well, Australia used to be a free country, but during coronavirus, it's transformed into one of the world's most oppressive dictatorships. For more than a year, Australians were banned from even leaving their own country. In Melbourne, police will walk up, grab your coffee cup to see if it really has coffee in it and that you're not just carrying it as an excuse to pull your mask down. And yes, you had to wear a mask outside until this month, and they'll probably bring it back the moment anybody gets a cough. In Victoria, the unvaccinated aren't allowed to eat in restaurants or enter any store for anything except essential goods. And Victoria's leaders want to make this tyranny permanent. The government's special pandemic emergency powers are supposed to end on December 15th, but politicians are already plotting to extend that. Their new bill would allow the state premier to declare a health emergency whenever he wants. Instead of renewing the emergency every few weeks, he'd be able to have the emergency last 3 months at a time, and he could renew it forever. The bill would let the state minister act like a virtual dictator in any health emergency. The initial draft of the bill allowed for people to be fined $90,000 for any action that, quote, endangered public health. Businesses could have been fined almost $500,000. But the public is finally starting to push back. Over the weekend, there were massive protests in all of Australia's major cities, with tens of thousands of participants. Anti-vax mandate politician Craig Kelly said what more and more Australians are finally starting to realize. We don't live in a democracy anymore. No, he's right. They live in a giant prison camp, just like the one the country started as 250 years ago. But of course, even if your entire country is one giant prison camp, you can still be sent to a worse prison within it. And Australia is making plans to do just exactly that with its dissident doctors. Australia is basically criminalizing dissent. According to a source inside the country, not only can you not publicly protest against the lockdowns, but the government is also putting doctors who ask too many questions on an internal domestic terrorism watch list. One doctor, Mark Hobart, was raided by the government after sending a letter to the Premier of Victoria State, where Melbourne is, warning that individuals who get vaccinated after already being infected are at an elevated risk of side effects. We've documented that. That's been well studied. Yes, he sent a letter trying to protect people from medical disaster. So they raided his home, fishing for something to arrest him on. Maria Z has been documenting vaccine injuries along with all of this tyranny in the Australian population, and she joins us now. Maria, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Stu.
A doctor has been raided by government officials for trying to warn that people could die or be injured as a result of being vaccinated after being naturally immune. I mean, tell me that this is a typo or a misprint.
No, Dr. Mark Hobart actually warned of this. He wrote to Brett Sutton, which is the chief health officer in Victoria, because he had treated COVID patients in a nursing home and they weren't dying. And he made this knowledge public. And not only that, but he found through multiple studies that these people were actually at more risk if they had recovered from COVID and received the vaccine, that they were at more risk of actually having a vaccine injury. So after he never received a response from Brett Sutton, he actually made that letter public through the COVID medical network. And then he was raided, as we saw the footage. It was actually his medical center that was raided by officials.
So now we're tracking vaccine injuries, adverse events, death here as well as we can. Obviously, a lot of these databases are being withheld from us. We're not allowed to see them. We think we know why. What are you seeing in Australia as far as the effects of these COVID shots, these bioweapons being falsely referred to as vaccines?
Well, I'm reporting on vaccine injuries regularly. I've conducted, I think, 7 interviews now this week of people with various different injuries. So anything from myocarditis, pericarditis, functional neurological disorder. And the problem is that the health system is not reporting these vaccine injuries. They're not educating people on how to report them. So whilst our headlines recently said that 10,000 claims have been made for vaccine injuries in the past couple of months, this is not reflective of how many people are actually having vaccine injuries, because these people are telling me health officials are not actually telling us how to report these. And if you are someone that has functional neurological disorder and not able to think properly or type or do, you know, navigate this system, how would you actually know how to report? And I'm being told it's very difficult to report your injury.
If they're going to criminalize the actions of a doctor who's simply writing a letter or asking questions, doing too much poking around, how long will it be before they criminalize reporting an injury as vaccine related?
Yes, it's a good question, Stu. It's not just that doctor. I've been contacted by others because of the nature of what I do. One particular doctor wrote to Greg Hunt, which is the Australian Minister for Health and Aged Care, in an email, and was shortly after raided by police in his home and told that he was being classed as a domestic terrorist, as you mentioned before. Before the police left, they said to him, don't write to Greg Hunt again. So if doctors who are supposed to be, who are responsible for raising concerns around this trial, and we are in a trial, surely if you want the trial to go well, or if you want the trial to be successful, you would encourage doctors to be speaking out in this manner. Now, it's been left to reporters like me and others to report on vaccine injuries because health officials simply will not.
Speaking of trial, another thing that's in trial right now is the resistance to all of this. There are a lot of Aussies who are saying, no, I don't want this shot for whatever reason, and that should be their inherent God-given right. What effect is this resistance having in Australia?
We're seeing people rising up. There have been people that are much more angry than they were before. Stu, I don't know if you saw the images of a prop with gallows in Victoria. That was symbolic of the Nuremberg trials. People have had enough, and we're now in the position where residents of Binjari and Rockhole in the Northern Territory are actually being removed from their homes and transported by the army to Howard Springs camp. Over 9 cases in that community and 38 close contacts. They are really trying it out here in Australia, and I think that they've gone to remote communities, because if they were to do this in urban areas, the people would not have it. They've had enough, Stu.
Okay, so in this remote community that you're referring to, people against their will are forcefully being removed from their homes by military personnel?
Yes, they're being taken. We've been told that they've been transported and that the Prime Minister supports this action in order to keep the community safe. 9 cases, Stu.
And what camp is this that they're going to?
Howard Springs in the Northern Territory.
What's the layout of this camp? I mean, is this like a lockdown facility, like a prison camp?
It is a quarantine facility.
And they're not allowed to leave?
No.
How long can they be held there?
We think it will be for 14 days, but whether they'll actually let them out after 14 days. I don't know, Stu. This is the first time that we're seeing people in these numbers being transported. It's not only the 9 positive cases, but it's also the 38 close contacts. And we're struggling to reach this community as their communications, I'm being told, have been limited.
This is a full-on military assault on the free people of a country. I mean, the fact that this is not being widely reported by mainstream media outlets around the world is absolutely eye-popping. That's shocking to me. I mean, you have a military force invading a community, a village, a city, a town, and forcefully taking people, removing, ripping people from their homes. What's happening to the children that are in these homes?
I'm still waiting for further information, Stu. I have made contact with someone who knows an Indigenous member of that community, so I'm waiting on further details about that. But we need to get more information, definitely, because I believe these people are under attack.
Okay, well, as soon as you have that information, please reach out to us because we want to make sure that that gets widely broadcast. As far as the urban areas are concerned where people are rising up, what effect is that having? And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about is these cops. The police there who are enforcing checking the coffee cup, put your mask on, you're not allowed to protest. I mean, all of these things, these mandates, this tyranny, are a lot of them just going along with this? Are a lot of them leaving? What effect is this rising up having? And is that ground swelling growing?
What we're seeing in urban areas is an easing of restrictions. They've started to talk about the fact that, you know, the unvaccinated will be allowed back out into society in December. The New South Wales Premier is saying that he doesn't want masks and he doesn't want, you know, all of these things to be enforced, even though we're still not allowed to go into restaurants or anywhere, as you said. So the general feeling in Australia is that things are improving. Meanwhile, we've got doctors being classed domestic terrorists and the army taking people out of their homes. I think the people of Australia are slipping back into the mentality that it'll be okay, but this is just a tactic because we've got upcoming elections. The Prime Minister has recently said that he doesn't think that vaccine mandates should exist for everyone, only those people working with the vulnerable. And now some Australians feel like they're going to ease up, but history tells us, Stu, that our government is not going to ease up. This is simply optics because of the upcoming election.
Would any Australians really legitimately vote for anybody who has inflicted this kind of pain on them and their families and this kind of oppression on a civilization? I mean, are Australians they accepting of this? Are they really in fear of this virus, this chimerically engineered, Tony Fauci created Wuhan, China lab released virus that 99.989% of people recover from with their own God-given immunity? Are people really convinced that this thing is that dangerous that they're willing to put up with this? Or are the majority of people there now awake to what this really is?
I would say that the majority are awake because the Prime Minister wouldn't be campaigning in this way and the Premiers wouldn't be as threatened by the rising support of anti-vaxxers. They're saying that he's pandering to the anti-vaxxers. If we were such a minute community, and I despise the term anti-vaxxer, but anyway, if we were such a small minority, we wouldn't be such a threat. So I believe a lot more people are waking up. Many people went and got the vaccine. You've seen the numbers. New South Wales is over 90% double dose. They did this because they didn't have a choice. I would say probably more than 60% of people did not want to do this. However, there are some people that believe that the government are doing this because they're looking after us. Those people exist.
Yeah, they exist here too. And I don't like anti-vaxxer either. They've labeled me that here. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm anti-communism. I'm anti-tyranny. I'm anti-mandates. And that goes for anything. I mean, you're not going to mandate me to go get chemotherapy if I have cancer, are you? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Maria Z, for your reporting, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
I'm just telling you that you are in total denial, complete willful ignorance. If you are looking at what's happening down under to those Aussies in Australia and thinking that that can't happen in any free country around the world, including right here in the United States. And one patriot here, Christopher Key, is battling that from happening right now at this minute. That's why he founded the Vaccine Police. Go to vaccine-police.com and support his efforts. You can view everything that he's doing. He video documents all of it. He's confronting the petty tyrants on school boards, having mask mandates lifted. He's becoming successful in doing that. largely successful in doing that. He's putting up billboards, making people aware to the dangers and death associated with these bioweapons in communities all over the country, major metropolitan areas. He needs you to help him. Go to vaccine-police.com, check out what he's doing, and if you feel so called and you have the resources, please donate to that cause. I do. Very happy that I have. This is why we do a public service announcement for the Vaccine Police here almost every single day. Go to vaccine-police.com and please help if you can. Not only is he confronting school boards, but also he's holding pharmacists accountable, serving Nuremberg notifications on these people, confronting hospital administrators, big pharma CEOs and executives, hosting rallies, going to capitals and speaking, making sure that our voices are heard, and it's working because the media is covering his efforts. There's a big documentary going on with this guy right now because the media wants to track him down and they're covering his efforts. We need to get louder right now. Help him resourcefully. Go to vaccine-police.com and donate if you can right now at vaccine-police.com. First day broadcasting over at cozy.tv. Big ups to our friend Nick Fuentes and all of the Groypers. Gosh, we love you guys. And Frank Speech as well. If you're on these platforms, we know you love free speech. So make sure you sign up for Gab if you're not already. Follow me at Real Stu Peters. Sign up for Premium if you like ad-free content, behind-the-scenes content, exclusive interviews. Get over to redvoicemedia.com/premium. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!